Well, there we go. That is an absolutely beautiful version of If I Ain't Got You. It's by Matt Goss. And we were having a bit of an argument, me and the other half, over the dinner table the other night, because obviously it's a cover of an Alicia Keys song. You don't do something like that lightly. We played the two side by side, and I'm sorry, I prefer Matt Goss's version. And I'm not just saying that because he's on the line from Las Vegas. Hello, Matt.
Hello, mate. What a nice intro. Thank you very much for the compliment.
It's a smoother version. And I'm a huge Alicia Keys fan, as I'm sure you must be. But it your version is just so rounded. Is it that it's sort of 20 years of production and people listening to that song and thinking, well, I could have done it slightly differently? Or how did you approach it?
Well, I've been playing, first of all, thank you. That means the world to me as a musician. I play it every night in my show. And one night, Babyface came in. Babyface is a friend, but he came in just, you know, without saying he was going to come. He came in and watched the show. He goes, I love that version. He goes, let's record it. And so, you know, so Babyface produced the song. That's why it probably sounds so smooth, because he's just a master at what he does. And then, you know, I wanted to do the vocal performance justice, and I've never heard a man sing it. So it was one of those songs that everybody keeps saying, will you release the song? And it was, you know, really meant to be my first single, but with all the bells and whistles, you know, the proper release and everything. But during this time, I thought, why don't we just put it out there and try and create some good with this, you know?
Well, it is a really lovely version. It really is. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the line. For those of us of a certain age, you are always going to be Bros, and I don't think that can be a bad thing, can it? But this is a...
No, absolutely not. I'm super, super proud of the band, yeah.
Yeah, well, as I was saying before we started recording, you're the reason I never got girls in the 80s, you and your brother.
That is not true.
But really, I mean, ever since, well, 25 years ago, you branched out on a solo career, and to be honest, you know, there's so much has gone on since Bros, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I've done so many things. I've, you know, played with the Tokyo String Quartet at Carnegie Hall. Obviously, my residency here in June will be 11 years as a headliner in Vegas, and then obviously all the other shows I've done globally. And yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of stuff, and it's a place where I feel very safe. The stage is my home, and I like transporting an audience, and I really, really, truly, finally feel like I've mastered what I do on stage. I really feel that I can transport the audience, and it's about them. It's not about me. It's about their escapism, and it's a peaceful place for me.
Well, but you seem to play. You've played alongside some big orchestras, as you say. This residency out in Vegas. You know, you're in the same area as the likes of Barry Manilow and Engelbert Humperdinck and Tom Jones. All those you know, greats who are still doing great now. What persuaded you to do that? Because it must have been a bit of a leap of faith, or did you know, was that really what you'd always had in mind?
What happened is I was doing a video called Evil, and director of entertainment at the Palms, Michael Greco, saw the video, and he says, I want this guy at our casino. And they called, and the team called and said, would you come in to Vegas tomorrow morning? And I'm like, this was like at, you know, 3 p.m. the previous day, the day before. And I said, okay. So I went and met with this gentleman called George Maloof, who was a private owner of the Palms. A wonderful guy, good friend, and the meeting went really well. 3 days went by, hadn't heard anything. Michael calls me and says, I promise you, you're going to get the show, and I'm going to take that watch of yours. And he goes, I know. And he goes, so the next day he calls me, he says, do you want the good news or the bad news? And I said, I'll take the bad news. He said, you're not getting my watch. Welcome to Las Vegas. And, no, 9 months. 9 months after that, Caesar's Palace came and took the show, and I did a 7.5-year run at Caesar's, and it was. And then I've just moved next door to the Mirage for the last year and a half. So yeah, it's been an incredible journey here, but also, you know, even just, you know, recently we played, you know, did the Palms in the Park with the BBC, you know, with the big band orchestra. It was incredible. Myself and Gladys Knight and Josh Groban. It's an incredible experience, and just doing things like that allowed me to do this experience, has allowed me to do those kind of experiences. So it's been music has taken me to some incredible places.
And do you still like it when you come home, though? Do you still find is your heart still in London? I mean, you're a London boy, but born and bred.
Yeah, through and through, my friend. I mean, lately, I mean, I just did a tour in December that really resonated with me, because I did the whole country and in December, and I feel like the last few months, I've just really, really missed just putting on my three-piece suit, my brogues, and walking through St. James Park and feeding the birds. And just that's really where I feel myself. I really want to come home. Yeah, that's without question how I feel deeply. I want to come back to London, and I want to just put my boots on the ground there for a while, because I've lost a great deal. I've lost my mum, I've lost my sister, and I've lost a great deal, and I talk about them more freely now because I feel somewhat stateless, and I want a sense of home, and I certainly need a sense of family again, even if that may be being in a country where I don't have to explain anything.
Sure.
I get treated with such love in Britain. In Britain, you know, I spend most of my day hugging people and taking selfies, but it's a good existence, and I'm grateful, and I'm grateful for the way I get treated in my country. I miss it deeply.
Indeed. We miss you. And I mean, I guess as well at the moment, Las Vegas must be a very weird place at the moment. I mean, it's built around people.
Yeah, I mean, there is a dichotomy, right? It's like, you know, a town by definition that thrives on crowds, thrives on tourism, and also our industry. You know, it's a crowd-based industry. So we are definitely feeling it in Las Vegas. But as a town, they are responding with such grace and civility, I guess. Everybody's very, very kind, and the grocery stores, and just everybody's just social distancing, and the governor's very, very responsible here, so he wants to make sure it opens correctly and safely, which is absolutely right. It's the right way to do things.
Indeed. And talking about governors and politics, I read an article a couple of weeks ago that said, and it's I understand it is deadly serious. You've already said you'd like to come back. You feel stateless. You want to come home, and you want to come home and lead, don't you?
Well, what are you talking about, the Prime Minister comment?
Yeah, you said you'd like to be Prime Minister at 60, which is a few years away yet, but 2028, is that right?
10 years, yeah. Well, I feel in 10 years, I'm obsessed with politics. I love politics. I also think that, you know, somebody that's been around the world, somebody that's you know, is able to communicate on any level, I just feel like, you know what, why not? It's a dream. It's something that I would like to steer towards at some point. It may sound farcical to some people, but it's something that I feel passionate about, and I think that by then we'll be even more open-minded about people that have lived a lot of life that can actually have strong opinions about where we should go and how we should operate and how we should be represented. And I don't think we should be afraid of being prideful of our country. I don't think we should be afraid of, you know, wanting people that come to our country to be prideful, more, you know, a society that listens more. I'm also in favour of science and progression, and just I believe there's a way of doing things. And sometimes I think the 37,000 foot view of something is better than sometimes when you're bogged into politics only, and you can't see outside of that world.
Yeah. It's often been said, hasn't it? That's the trouble. We've got career politicians now, people who set out to be that, other than in the old days, people who perhaps came from the mining community or merchant shipping or things like that, or someone like you from the entertainment industry, which is a huge part of our economy. You coming in, you'd have a different...
I also think that we're afraid to communicate. We're actually afraid to say how it is. We're afraid to say the truth, just in case it might not go down. You know, you might lose some votes. It's like, it's not the way it should be. The way it should operate, I believe, is what is better for the country and how are we going to be represented. And I think the Brexit issue it personifies that whole thing where you either on one side or the other. Nothing is either one side or the other, right? You know, if you want to make an amendment to something, I'm a businessman, so I know without amendments, you can't move forward. Usually after a year or two, you need to make an amendment because the business changes. It's the same with the country. If you're dealing with the European community and somebody's not willing to make an amendment, then how can you move forward? Then it becomes a dictatorship. So I believe strongly that communication is key, and you can't bully people in politics. You have to try and rely on that very thing called diplomacy and see if it works. And if it doesn't, you do have to stand your ground sometimes and say, we're going to do what we say we're going to do. And I think that's what happened with Brexit. I think that Cameron, in my opinion, was met was not welcomed with open arms. He just was, if they'd made a few amendments, we probably wouldn't be in this position. But know.
Interesting thoughts. I'm guessing one of the things that would be safe under a Matt Goss-led government would be the NHS, because coming back to the single, you're doing it all for NHS heroes. So I'm taking it that, you know, given that you're not in the country at the moment, but the NHS obviously does have a place in your heart.
I think that, you know, when you live abroad and you realise, you know, that here you have insurance companies, you have pharmaceutical companies, everything, it's a fortune to be unhealthy here. And you realise that when you can go and get your arm fixed, break your arm, you walk into the NHS, you get your cast on your arm, we just take it for granted. That's not the way it operates here. It's like, it's a blessing to have the NHS. Not just now, like, you know, my mother passed with cancer and they gave her dignity, they gave her the respect, and they gave her counsel. And I didn't get, you know, a whopping bill, you know, for $8,000 for morphine when she passed, like it did in the States. She came here for...
Goodness me.
There are issues about it. They're a blessing to the nation, and without question, they are forever inspiring me. I see things online and they're walking towards danger purely just to protect us. I'm in awe of it every day.
Excellent. Well, we wish the single a lot of luck, obviously, and it's a great cause that you're raising money for. Realistically, if the lockdown eases, will we see you back in the UK soon?
I hope so. I really, really hope that I'll be touring at least at Christmas. I mean, I hope by then. I was meant to be touring now, actually, but I hope that at the very least I'll be touring at Christmas. But I genuinely miss my country and miss fellas like you. Maybe when we're back, we can have a pint and talk more politics. Much love to you and your listeners, my friend. God bless.
There you go. That's Matt Goss. What a lovely man. And that single, If I Ain't Got You, is out now. It's in aid of NHS heroes, and it's available on all the places you buy your digital content. It's 12 minutes before 6 on Cambridge 105.